This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Of course, getting into the Power Boardroom conversation right now, speaking about interventions that Treasury can make to really stimulate South Africa's GDP and also boost youth employment in this country. And you and I can agree that South Africa is really stuck in this low growth trap, and with poor educational outcomes as well as sluggish GDP growth, we are not producing the volume and type of jobs which are needed to really reverse historical trends. But we could be building on social employment and incentive programs for young people. At least that's one observation carried out by a panel and recommendations authored in collaboration with Dumako Bule, an economist, and independent researcher Crystal Duncan Williams and Clotilde Angelucci, who are the project lead and the communication and network strategist at Youth Capital, which of course is a campaign advocating for a youth-centered and evidence-based solutions to youth unemployment. Amongst them, Crystal, joining me right now for this conversation. I guess to kick us off, Crystal, let's really dissect this issue around youth unemployment. It is a big issue in this country. Let's first diagnose this. Why is this the case here?
Yeah, so we at Youth Capital really believe that the two key reasons why we've been unable to tackle this beast. One, there hasn't been a collective and shared agenda. So there have been many, many programs, both in the public sector and the private sector, and then civil society also with numerous programs. But these have not all come together around one consolidated plan. And then secondly, that young people have not been placed at the center of these conversations. You know, traditionally, many of these programs are top-down, driven by, you know, consultants, government, big corporates, but not actually taking young people's lived experience into account. And, you know, even saying that the world is changing at a rapid rate, just think about how things have changed, you know, because of COVID. And so we need to be talking to young people constantly to understand what it's like in reality if we're going to tailor-make solutions for them. And we think that's been key and missing here. You know, that young people are treated as a homogenous group. And for a long time, people believed there was some silver bullet, you know, some magic one plan that was going to solve youth unemployment. And that's just not the reality. It never has been and it never will be. We need to recognize that young people are complex human beings. And they're doing more than just looking for work. And their journey to become economically productive starts long before that day they start looking for a job or, you know, starting a side hustle. You know, we need to support them throughout the education journey. And then they step out of places of learning, what support do they need there? And then, you know, once they embark on whether it be employment or self-employment, what support do young people need there? And I think look at all of these steps along the way. And it's a very complex issue. And I think that's why people shy away from it. But until we do that holistically, we'll continue to make the same mistakes.
But Crystal, I'm sure you'd agree that we are stuck with a stagnant economy, and in the short term, the only way to increase labor absorption is to really change the properties of the solution and really give it more energy and build more connections as well. There have been a number of initiatives to address this issue that is youth unemployment, but the bigger question here is, what are we not getting right?
Yeah, and so, you know, you mentioned the solutions, which is the analogy we used in the op-ed we just authored recently. You know, if you think about a glass of water, you can make the glass of water bigger if you want to dissolve more salt in it. But we're not in a position to do that, right? So what are the things we can do in the short term? We can change the conditions of the current size of the glass. You know, if you heat water, more salt dissolves. And so that's the analogy we're trying to use here, to say there are existing things. You know, there are existing initiatives like public employment programs, like the incentives that exist for businesses, tax incentives, job PE ratings, etc. The obvious things that already exist. You know, so before we go and create big changes or create more things, let's look at what we have and tweak those things to work just a bit better and change the conditions of the solution. And that's really what we're trying to say. That's not to say the more longer term things, you know, growing a manufacturing sector, improving infrastructure across the country, these real systemic barriers to economic growth, load shedding, these things we suggest. But in the short term, these are things we can start doing now, which can have impact for young people. And really important that we think about youth unemployment unemployment as a problem for the country.
Yeah.
You know, if people don't have money in their pockets to spend, they can't stimulate local economies, which doesn't foster GDP growth. You know, it's this kind of circular situation that we find ourselves in. And so putting money into young people's pockets is really important to stimulate the economy in the long term.
Part of your discussion and part of the paper also includes very interesting parts around the issue on our education system. I mean, on the one hand, our education system is not creating a pathway that sets young people up for the future success. And it also says that on the other hand, our formal economy is not growing fast enough to create the opportunities for the majority of job seekers, especially young people who fall within these categories of low and semi-skilled. Elaborate further on this.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, the thing is, the basic workplace skills are not taught in school now. You know, they never were taught in school. They weren't taught in school when you and I were there. They're not being taught in school now. But I think, you know, the difference is that the workplace really requires a particular set of analytical thinking and critical thinking and communication skills that can't, you know, employers aren't, you know, willing to give young people the space to learn that on the job. And schools are really missing that kind of shift on the employer side. And then, you know, secondly, because the unemployment rate is so high in this country, employers can be extremely picky about who they hire. So, you know, you're finding, you know, I just heard on another talk show earlier today, people in the tourism sector are hiring graduates. They're not hiring people to come through a TVET and do a tourism and, you know, sector kind of specific qualification. And I was quite alarmed by this. So, you know, I think we are stuck in a situation where employers are very wary of taking risks on young people because of the economic climate.
Yeah.
And then when they do take a risk, they're not giving, like you say, the low-skilled and semi-skilled worker the opportunity. And so we really need to be working at all coal faces, government as an employer through social employment programs to give that first work experience that helps de-risk that hiring of the young person for the employer who comes at the next step, you know, once that person's had that first workplace experience. And then, you know, to look at employers and say, this is really in the interest of your business. If you want your business to survive in this country, we need young people to be employed and to be your customers and buying your product and your service. And so you need to think about that and, you know, the longevity of a business. Nobody lives for forever. So you need to pass the skills on, even if it's hard work. And then to young people to say, you know, do not be shy to ask. And I think young people are just, they don't know where to start. They don't know who to ask. But I think just ask for help. Just reach out to anyone. And then, you know, to everybody else, and you're not a business owner, you don't work in government, but social connections for young people, information, you know, social connections is more than just mentoring a young person. It's giving them information that's helping them write the CV, helping them create a LinkedIn profile. These small actions, you know, really growing the resources of a young person through social networks is such a missed opportunity that all South Africans can play a part in.
Yeah, yeah. Also very interesting is that you guys cite that a report by the PwC, which effectively confirms that we need faster and more sustainable growth to reduce unemployment, but also citing that that alone won't do the trick, that we also need to ensure that once in school, post-secondary qualification or a first work experience, young people are indeed supported to actually finish what they started here.
You know, back to my previous point, and to elaborate on that pipeline and looking at it from all angles, if we create, you know, for example, you know, AI, and there's a lot of conversation about 4IR and like the bots are going to take our jobs. If we're thinking about this, you know, very technological advancements that are coming our way, we need to equip people for what's coming. And we need to look at both sides of the coin. So we can be creating these offshore jobs in the technology space. And at the same time, we need to be looking at young people who are in primary school now and saying, what skills are we giving them through high school, through a post-school work opportunity that equips them for that? You know, if you speak to developers, tech companies are moving away from a three-year degree because by the time you finish that three-year degree, what you started learning is, you know, archaic. It's not a language that's used anymore, it's outdated. They're looking for short courses, quick courses. And so I think we need to equip young people to be able to navigate those pathways in an informed way, not just jumping from one thing to the other because they don't actually know how these pieces add up to the sum of the parts. And then to ensure that young people can access those learning opportunities as well as then, you know, the GDP growth that needs to happen that enable those jobs to actually exist in the first place.
Also joining us for this discussion is economist and independent researcher Duma Kubule. Pleasure to have you on the program this evening, Duma. And I mean, as we continue to speak about this, the unemployment rate, especially among the youth, really painting a depressing figure or a depressing picture here. But according to what we are reading here, it seems there is good news that we are already out of the starting blocks because the policies and programs already exist, but they must be improved and also expanded and better funded as well. I mean, as part of this robust package of economic policies to stimulate growth, the National Treasury must really broaden access to social employment programs and incentives for small, medium and micro sized businesses to hire more young people. Let's speak to the how here.
Yes. So let's remember there's 7 million young people, 15 to 34, who are unemployed. And to get 7 million people to work again, it's a huge effort. It's almost like a war effort as a country. And all institutions must be geared towards this war effort to get the people to work again. It's not a small matter. It's a huge matter in terms of getting people to work. The unemployment rate for in 15 to 24 is a shocking 71.1% for 15 to 24. And the participation, the employment to population ratio, it's about the absorption rate into the labor market is about 10%. It's one of the lowest I've seen anywhere in the world. So I'm just saying that there's a number of levers that we can use to get our economy going again. The most important one is to get the economy growing again. The forecast for this year, it's 0.1% by the IMF, for the Reserve Bank, 0.3%. And this follows a period of about 14 years where our economy is not growing. When the economy is not growing, you can't create jobs for people. So I do think that we have to get this discussion around economic policy, how to grow our economy. Number two, we have to change the structure of the economy to create jobs with the profile of the people that we have. For example, half of the unemployed do not have a matric. So we have to create those kind of jobs for people who do not have a matric. We can't wish that we had a profile that is not, you know, people are highly skilled and so forth. And our economy has been creating jobs. I was looking over the last 10 years, over the last 14 years, in finance, where 1%, everybody who works in finance, I saw this when I was doing this and some research on youth unemployment, there's about 1% of people who don't have a matric. So everybody in finance has got a matric and a post-matric qualification. So those are the sectors that are growing. And we have to create growth, provide incentives for sectors where they can absorb people who are not skilled. And the ones that we were talking about just before I came in, short courses for people to you know, quickly get ready for the labor force and so forth, yeah, as you're talking about now. So the third one is obviously the social employment programs. And I was really disappointed when I saw the budget. They're stopping the presidential employment stimulus, which created more than 1 million opportunities, most of them for young people. I think 83% were for young people. And they're stopping this program, which was some kind of ray of a glimmer of hope in terms of this situation. We should be expanding these programs, learning what didn't work in these programs. And Youth Capital did write a report about what didn't work and what did work. So we have to make them better. You know, all the expanded public works, the basic education initiative, the social employment fund, and all these many programs that the government has. Yeah, yeah.
I think in extension to that, Duma, you also cite that it would be a travesty and a major missed opportunity for this country if indeed this energy and new connections created by these programs were indeed lost. And you've urged that we should be building on them and really growing their synergies with skills development and the formal labor market as well. Please expand on this aspect.
Yes. So now when the economy grows, it will absorb some people into the economy. And when we had, the incentives, you know, the industrial policies incentives, they will create more opportunities for people when we do them properly. But still, the people who will be left behind and not get jobs. And those people these social employment or the public employment programs, we should be expanding them because the reach of them is not as large as it should be. We should be doubling these things in size. We've got so much experience over the past 15, 20 years of these programs, and we know what works and what doesn't work as a country, and we should be expanding them. And as we should actually get everybody under a roof and decide, look, what can we do what are the lessons that we've learned from all these programs? And it was 15 government departments that were involved in this presidential employment stimulus, and there are many other programs in other government departments as well.
Let's extend that particular angle, Crystal, and speak about more about this social employment programs. It would seem that many young people are not aware of some of these incentives or how to even access them. And those who are really unable to do so because of red tape. Explain this phenomenon to us.
Yeah, so, we know that there are existing incentives for businesses to hire young people, but the research to date has been really difficult to kind of get a clear picture on if it's made any difference, because what we're seeing is bigger corporates and bigger firms are making use of the employment tax incentive and smaller organizations are not. And so we, through talking to smaller and medium business owners, really wanted to understand what was really happening there. And through, just the conversations with small business owners and the online survey, what we really found is that half of businesses don't even know that these incentives exist. Things like the Youth Employment Service, leverage the BBBE rating, and through that kind of tax break, you're able to pay for a young person's kind of stipend. But most of the small and medium business owners that we spoke to aren't even aware of that. And if they are, they just said there's way too much red tape. We heard from business owners, refrigeration business owners say that they are trying to upskill young people. People without matric, who they take on, they train up into the apprenticeship level. And when it comes to the CETA, the person needs to get their full apprenticeship qualification, the paperwork gets lost. It's happened 3 times to one person, and that's like a year and a half of their life that they can't earn the salary that they are, fully entitled to because they have the qualification, because they can't prove they have the qualification because the CETA keeps losing the paperwork. And if you don't have somebody in your office that can follow up with CETA, over and over and over again, then what happens? You end up being stuck and you just kind of give up. And, there's other small business owners who try to work with a local TVET to do work integrated learning and the work, the work-based place learning that needs to happen there. And the business is keen to do that, but the TVET is just like this real bureaucratic machine that the small business just doesn't know how to work with. And so I think there's space there for, a simplifying of the procedure for smaller businesses or some intermediary entity that kind of bridges the gap between the small business and, government or the TVET, to kind of make these processes work better. Because I think a lot of small businesses do want to do what they can to employ young people or upskill young people, but the current infrastructure and processes are just not tailor-made for that small business owner. That's really kind of hampering the whole process.
Duma, as we wrap up our conversation, I want us to take a deeper insight into or talk to us a bit more about the positive relationship between the size of a country's productive output and its ability to create and, more importantly, sustain jobs as well.
There's 15.9 million people who are unemployed, and then there's 11.9 million people who are unemployed. Sorry, 15.9 who have jobs and 11.9. So you can see that we need to almost double the size of our economy to bring these 11.9 million people into the economy. And so people must understand the scale of it. To get 11.9 million people, 7 million young people to work again, what are they going to be doing? We need to create new industries. We need to expand existing industries. We need to grow this economy much faster than it is currently growing. And so there is a relationship between GDP growth and employment. So I just think that we have to get all our policies focused on one thing to grow this economy. And many of the countries in Asia, it is an obsession to grow the economy. Mm. And their target, most of these countries in Asia, they double the size of the economy every decade, and we should be aiming for something similar. China, India, they double the size of the economy.
But what are they doing right, though?
Well, number one, they have a they have a mobilizing vision for the economy, and you stick to it, and every government department, every central bank is geared towards achieving that vision, you know. And I've been to China a few times, and it's incredible as to how they get the whole of society working towards that objective. So that's what we should do, because we can't have a situation since 1994, our economy has grown about 20% in GDP per capita. That is unacceptable. 3 decades and virtually no growth in this economy on a per capita basis after you take into account the population growth, you know. Yeah.
Crystal, in 2014, the government developed the employment tax incentive, which really was a rebate for employers who hire young people. And employment data showed that more than 60% of all employed people are working in small, medium and micro-sized businesses, which have fewer than 50 staff. Does such a scheme help in really growing small businesses here?
Well, no. See, I think the current scheme, what's happening is people who are accessing it are people who would have employed young people anyway because their business needed, you know, more hands to do the work. And so what we're seeing from small businesses is that, you know, what they see as the payoff of having to train that young person and the risk of having that young person in the business doesn't outweigh. You know, they still have to put some money into that person's salary, so it's not completely covered. But I think that they just don't see the benefit. And they've a lot of, interestingly, in our survey, we asked some business owners, what would they be willing to do to get some kind of tax incentive? And they were more willing to mentor young people than to be tax compliant. And so I think a lot of small business owners are working on the fringes of legality and being tax compliant. And I think that they just don't see the value of doing all of that to be able to employ young people, which is unfortunate. So I think we need to look at how to make this scheme more accessible, to the small business owner, you know, as I said before, maybe some kind of middleman or an office who helps with the paperwork or helps you become compliant. Because obviously, it is in the business's best interest in the long term to be compliant. So maybe we can think about other little incentives to marry kind of with the employment tax incentive to make it more appealing to the small business owner. Because I think there is an opportunity to create jobs that wouldn't have otherwise existed. Whereas to date, that's not really what the scheme has done from the current research outputs.
Duma, very quickly, give us your observations on the need for closer collaboration. I mean, it should be created with a variety of sectors, such as the green economy, to really equip young people with the hard and soft skills that are really needed, as well as the social connections and mentoring relationships that can help them find work here. I mean, there are many solutions that young people are looking for onto what skills are required to make them more accessible to jobs here.
Yes, I think with a strategy to grow the economy, I think everybody agrees number one priority is this energy situation, our energy crisis. And if you look at the government's Just Energy Transition Plan, they need $1.5 trillion to be invested in this transition over the next until 2027. So that's a huge opportunity. And there must be, what are the opportunities for young people in this just transition? And the second one is the whole issue of our transport network that has been destroyed, Transnet and so forth. So those are the two ones that I can think of immediately. So we have to align our education system to be able to help to create the people who can support this transition that we have to make on the just energy, the transport infrastructure, the water infrastructure is also crumbling in South Africa. So there's so much infrastructure backlogs in South Africa right now, and we need so many people to, there's housing backlogs, there's public transport backlogs, you know, and it's incredible. So there's no shortage of infrastructure projects that we can use as a country to get our country going again.
Let me thank you both. That's Duma Qobule, an economist and independent researcher, as well as Crystal Duncan Williams, who's from the project lead and communication at Network Strategist Group, Youth Capital, of course, speaking to us really about interventions that Treasury can make to very importantly stimulate South Africa's GDP and boost youth employment in this country.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.